This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the F-Boy Island wrap-up. We are back for the second batch of episodes. As per usual, I'm your host, Kirsten McInnes, joined, as always, by my bestie, Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be back. I have been enjoying F-Boy Island so much. After those first three episodes, I was like, am I too high on this show? Like, no. Am I too excited about this? And then I kind of, you know, I had the week in between to cool off a little bit. And I was like, maybe the show isn't that good. And I got back right back into it. And I love it. It's so refreshing. It's great. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
Yes, but we are not alone. We have a guest. We have an iconic guest. She is a comedian. She is an Emmy nominated writer, as well as a reality TV podcaster in her own right. Rae Sawhney is with us.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
For having me. I'm super good. Very excited to talk Fuck Boy Island with y'all.
Yes.
I don't like this F nonsense.
They say fuck on the show. Why can't we
say fuck on the show? I'm like, is the word fuck boy trademark? Like, why aren't they saying it?
I think it's just like, I was saying this in the last episode that we did, that I just don't think that they can have a show titled Fuckboy Island. So yes, they had to brand it this way, but like, they could have just done that for the title of the show and then on the show, let them say fuckboy.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yes.
Yeah. But I suppose maybe there's a limited number of F words you can have on a show, because I know that like, for like PG-13 versus rated R movies, there's like a number of curse words that you can use, or you can't say things above bitch or ass or whatever. So maybe it's about how easily you can disseminate your media throughout, you know.
It's HBO. I don't know
what the HBO rules are.
That's my thing. I'm like, listen, I pay for curse words. That's what HBO stream is all about. Like, free, if it's free, yes, I get why you can't cuss. But if I'm subscribing to something, give me slurs, you know?
Not slurs. Okay, so I know that you've already talked a little bit about this show with Kate Casey, but what is it about F-Boy Island that caught you, Ray?
Kate Casey asked me to do her podcast. That's what it was. I wasn't going to watch it. I wasn't going to watch it because Nikki Glaser is a stand-up comic, the host of the show, and she's an incredible stand-up comic.
So good.
So funny. I'm a very jealous person. And so what I don't do is watch people I'm jealous of. So I wasn't going to watch it. But then somebody asked me to do a podcast and I was like, fine, I'll swallow my jealousy or whatever. You'd be surprised at how many shows I haven't watched because I'm a jealous person.
No, I love it.
No, I relate. Trust me, I get it. I'm like, this is going to make me feel bad emotions.
Yes.
Like, why am I actively seeking out things that are going to like fuck me up psychologically? Yes.
I have not watched The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt because a girl that I not started stand up with, but we did stand up in the same like era, wrote on the show. And she's an amazing woman and incredibly talented. But why would I purposely subject myself to something that is going to make me feel like shit? Same way as you, Jenny.
Yeah, so but like, now you get to be like, yeah, but I wrote on The Good Place. So
yeah, but I can't even watch The Good Place. Because I'm like, well, I didn't get a small part on season 3. So like, you know,
don't watch anything.
No, I truly have not watched a sitcom since I started watching writing for TV.
I don't want to know what else is happening.
I don't want to know what else is happening. I don't want to see what people are doing better than I am. Not because I'm a hater. It's the opposite. It's because I have very low self-esteem and I'm very easily affected by feeling like I'm not as good as other people. So it's like, I don't
know. So deeply relatable.
Okay, so you get it. You don't need to watch other people be amazing so that you can do a lot of negative self-talk. I'm trying to eliminate the negative self-talk. But anyway, Nikki Glaser is so good at what she does that I don't negative self-talk. I'm just so engrossed by what she does. She's really good. Like, she's excellent.
I wish more hosts were like this. Like, this is what these kinds of shows need is a host that actually has a personality, is actually funny. Because I feel like so often we on these kinds of shows, we get hosts that aren't naturally funny trying to make jokes.
And how many years do we have to watch Chris Harrison on our TV screens before he got
no
fired?
More? None.
Like, thank God he's gone. But like, seriously.
I know, but I'm really nervous for what they're going to bring instead of him.
I'm really scared for Bachelor in Paradise.
Well, so the thing
how is that show was still on?
That's another thing. How is that show still on, to be honest?
America loves it, okay?
Like a sexual assault on Bachelor in Paradise, though?
Well, yeah, because they had a situation where, and I think the way that it was justified was that everyone had been overserved.
So that means that you should be in trouble and not be serving alcohol on your sets anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how they really got away from that one, because that was a pretty bad situation.
How they got away with it is that enough Americans wouldn't stop watching. That's how money and capitalism.
Money, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like enough people watch it and we're like, what are you talking about? I can just get someone drunk and sleep with them and it's fine. It's not a problem at all.
I do that every week.
Well, so also, as I had told you guys before we were on air, I don't like dating shows usually because they don't subvert anything. Unlike every other sort of reality TV show, they don't undermine like the existing power structure. Like, I'm obsessed with like Real Housewives or whatever, in part because where else are you going to watch 50 something women, 60 something women being sexually active and interesting? On scripted television, you're not going to get that, right? Mm-hmm. So it changes the way that we engage with people. There's still sexist tropes, sometimes racist tropes, but there's something different that it's serving the public with. And I don't like that on dating shows. What I like about Nikki Glaser and F-Boy Island in general, but in particular, Nikki Glaser's role in there is the men are fucking idiots.
Yes.
And she points it out. One of the first things she says to one of these tight pants dudes in the first episode is like, I have those pants. And I'm like, yes, he's an idiot.
He looks so stupid in those white pants.
Exactly. And we're dealing with a show where the boys are stupid and not the girls. And I love that so much because more often than not, the girls get played on shows like, let me not say girls, women. I need to stop doing that. I call myself a girl, so I just assume other women call themselves girls, and that's not nice. But
I do the same thing.
It was like Nikki Glaser is always undermining and always mocking them, and she never undermines the women. Yes. I fucking love it so much.
And the women are in control, which is what's great about this. Yes. You know, and I know that we get that when we get like The Bachelorette, for example.
No, you don't.
Not always like that.
They make so many decisions based on what production wants. And also, like, The Bachelorette will cast like 25 identical white men that how am I supposed to tell them apart? I can't. I can't tell them apart. Right. So, like, at least in this one, most of the men I can kind of tell who is who, which is a nice change for most shows.
And I feel like we get personality development. Sorry.
No, please.
But yeah, I think that like, I feel this is something I was noticing through like these three episodes too, is that like, you know, I feel like we're getting a little bit more of personality development through some of these characters where absolutely. Like, I just feel like the forced fake romance of some of these other shows, it's all about the situation and like, oh, I can feel myself falling. For yes. We do get some of that shit with this show, but like, there's just more going on.
We all immediately question it. That speaks to like my resistance to like The Bachelorette, even though it's like the girl in charge, or excuse me, the woman in charge, she still has to play into misogynistic tropes. Yeah. Oh, she's not slutty. She wants a guy like this who will take care of her and be her provider. And, you know, like, and it doesn't do anything to offset our understanding of like fairy tales or, you know, suitors. Like men have to, she has to be this virginal woman to some degree. That's why, what's her name? Claire got so much hate. Now she is annoying, but like Claire was like, I found the dude I want to smash. I don't want to talk to the rest of y'all. And like, everyone else is, you know, mad at her, I guess, for not making herself available in the same way. And that sort of reinforces the notion that a woman needs to be available to men who are chasing. And there's none of that on this show. The first episode, a woman didn't like the way he was chasing her. She was like, fuck you and your stupid poem, you know, go home.
Not the poem.
It was so uncomfortable.
It was terrible.
Okay, so something that comes up in this batch of episodes that is one of my favorite things that has ever happened is Nikki Glaser giving therapy to the F boys in Limbro. It is so funny every single time she does it.
I love that they leave in the boys laughing at her.
Yes. Make it. I feel like I'm there. Like I feel like the scene isn't edited, and I'm just hanging out watching this actually play out.
Yes, but I also love like the power that it gives her. Right, like men love to be the ones who make women laugh, and I'm a stand-up comic. And the first thing that happens whenever men try to hit on me on something is they try to be funnier than me.
And don't bother. You're
surprised by how much they try. And I love it. Just again, going back to the subverting of gender roles. Here are men who are helpless to just laugh at this woman. When you are powerful enough to make the room laugh, you are totally in control. And here are men who have no choice but to relinquish power and laugh at this. Like laughter is an uncontrollable response to stuff. That is the ultimate release of power, except for orgasm. That's a release.
Oh, so you're listening to my two favorite things.
Laughter and cunning, right?
Honestly, up there on the list.
They're up there. And so for these men who are on this show to posture as fuck boys and, you know, we overwhelm women with our charm, whatever, to be left laying on this cot made of wood, whatever.
I would.
And laughing because this girl is mocking them. Because this woman is mocking them. Like, I think that's the ultimate power play. I love it. I love it so much.
I would love to see Nikki Glaser put up a diorama and be like, show me where the clitoris is. Because I don't think these men know. I don't think they don't know. They could have shown it on the sand woman they created. Lucy.
Lucy, oh my God.
With the coconut breath.
That was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Like, yes.
I was so poorly done.
Like, is that what you think a woman looks like?
That's what men think their ideal woman looks like. Just coconuts and barely drawn in the sand, you know.
They're like, perfect. They didn't even finish the torso. Like they got to like the midsection. The pussy, they're like,
right away.
There's no legs. It's fine. We stop here.
They drew.
Do you have feet? Like, I don't know.
What are those torso dolls that men can order?
Oh, that's Lord. They were like, here's a hole in the sand where we can put the pocket pussy. Yes, we put exactly. 2 coconuts there for the breasts. That's all we need. Nothing
they
else.
They have the real, they
keep my fleshlight warm, you know, and with the sand. No,
they're supplying the real dolls at the nice guy grotto. They're like, okay, we took you away from the women. You guys get the real sex dolls. And these men at Limbro have to make it out of sand and coconut.
What do you think about
the nice guy grotto? What do you guys think of that?
So the thing is that I don't think any of these guys are actually quote unquote nice.
Yes. Like, they're all on a TV show to win money.
They're all nice.
You are not a nice guy.
Yeah. Like, if you're going on TV to try and like quote unquote fall in love or meet your wife or whatever, you are not a good guy.
Although Sean is so handsome, I'm willing to believe it.
Yeah, well, he has not done anything offensive or even given me a bad vibe, really. Well,
he's gone on this TV show, so he's clearly offensive.
But that's the thing, is like that is the bare minimum. It's like, okay, well, I can't even look past that.
Yes, but his smile is so beautiful.
He has a gorgeous smile. Like, honestly, like, I feel like through the screen, I'm like, oh, I don't know about Sean, but he has a beautiful smile. But I think if I was in the room with Sean, I'd be like, okay, hi. Hello.
I bet he's pretty cheesy, though, right? He gives off cheesy. Okay, can I ask you who are your hottest guys that you should be embarrassed about liking, and then
who I'd be embarrassed from liking.
Who you think are like guys who should win? So I guess maybe one of each, like a guy you're ashamed for thinking is hot, and a guy who seems like a good guy you think he should win or get the girl.
Okay. I think I love, and who I think is good and could win, is New Jared. I'm like really into Jared. Okay. Should I be embarrassed of that? Him. Should I be embarrassed of that?
I don't think it's worth being embarrassed.
I don't think you should. You think New Jared should win? I think he's slick.
I like him a lot. I don't know why. Like, the thing is I think Sean is better than him, but I think I'm like more attracted to New Jared than I am to Sean.
Is that physical or is that his personality?
I think it's physical, because Sean's personality is the best one by far.
Yeah. Okay.
I think what I should be ashamed of is how much I still like Casey, even though he's kind of trash. I should be ashamed of that.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I'm saying. I was like, I don't think Sean or New Jared are even going to matter, because
Casey broke out of Limbo.
Yeah, Casey.
I don't know, goddamn Limbo. Production sent him a call.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, just let me enjoy the magic of the show, okay? I love the idea of Casey climbing over a bamboo wall and crossing an 8-lane like highway to get his girl.
Camera following him. If he's escaping, you think the camera would be there?
I know it's not realistic, but it's so fun. Like, both batches of episodes have ended on such iconic moments.
Yes,
like,
they have.
Episode like the first batch ends with Garrett getting called the fuck out, and then batch two.
I don't know the name of this nameless dude.
This blonde man.
A sim that looks like this guy, and I hate that sim.
Okay, wait, Jenny, but I want to hear, who do you think should win and who are you ashamed of thinking?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I need your answer.
Okay. So here's the thing, is I got a thing for guys with nose rings.
Okay.
And Colin's got the nose ring. I like it on him, but I just like,
I just Ray's face right now.
Yeah, we don't like Colin over
Ray
here.
Ray got in that Twitter feud of Colin.
Oh, we'll talk about it.
Okay, aesthetically, here's the thing:
he's hot.
I feel like he hasn't like wowed me, but I was rooting for Greg. Rooting for Greg, and I was like really hoping that the reveal, when it was down for Nakia, when she's trying to figure it out between, when she clearly thinks that, you know, OG Jared and Colin are feuding, and they're, you know, she's going to eliminate one of them, or so she thinks. And then, like, we're just going all over the place at this point. But anyway,
we don't and need I was to really go hoping, beat by beat. It's F-Boy Island. People can go really, watch it. HBO Max, Craven Canada.
I was really hoping that that Greg was going to be the nice guy, because you can tell that this is so important to Nakia. All Nakia talks about is, oh, I really, really like this guy, but I'm trying to figure out if he's a fuckboy. Like, that's all she thinks about.
She's committed to the premise.
Yes, exactly. And it really does impact how she sees them.
Yeah.
And so I was a little sad, because I started to get all in on Greg.
Did you?
All I love the beard and the nose ring.
He wears a do-rag in every scene. You trust that man?
He does not wear it in every scene.
He has a velvet durag in every color. I don't know how well versed.
Well, then he coordinates. I like that.
A pretty boy has a durag in every color. He's a problem. Well,
and this is the thing, because when they stalked everyone's social media, didn't they go to his and they're like, every picture is a thirst trap.
Yes.
And that was when
you see the Drake heart cut in his world. He's a problem.
I know. I know.
Nakia has a bad picker.
Right. She is
a bad picker.
I love toxic men. It's a problem.
I do too. But we got
everyone who's been listening to these podcasts knows that the person I think is the most attractive is inevitably the most
the
toxic.
Worst.
My type is tall. My type is toxic. And if Chappelle is here, he'll bring up the thigh thing. But it's nobody.
Oh, you like
but I don't guy. Like. But like, I don't
like football players.
Wait,
like,
I'll tell you the truth now, Ray, because there was a tweet and it was a video of a man and he was like, he had just these thick, amazing thighs. He tweeted something about how like, oh, like women say they like this, but then they don't. And I quote tweeted it with something horrendous. And I deleted it within 3 minutes because I knew it was a mistake. But fucking Brian Scally saw it, screenshotted it, and sent it to Chappelle. Oh, wow. And Chappelle will never
The internet is forever, girl. The internet is forever.
But
save it for the burner.
Chappelle would say the third T. I like tall, toxic, and he would say the third T is
thoughts.
You said tall. What's the second T? I didn't hear it.
Toxic. Toxic. Okay. Every time I'm like, oh, this guy is really hot. They're like, okay, this is the worst man alive. Mm-hmm. Every time.
Well, I will say though, I tend to like toxic men, but I don't like toxic blonde men. So that's why from the second he showed up on my screen, I said,
there is no such thing as a blonde man. They are little boys that never grew up. I'm sorry. Exactly. I'm sorry to blonde men.
Listen, I hate that I'm this way. I have never seen an attractive blonde man. Brad Pitt in Troy is the only exception.
I will co-sign that opinion 100%.
Yeah.
I do not like blondes.
It's not for me.
It's not for me. I don't know. Something about blondness. I am a black woman too. So there's that. But like something about blondness, I just immediately associate with white women. I don't know. It's not a nice thing, but I just associate blondness, being blonde, with femininity. Maybe it's not fair, but I just do. I don't know. There are very few blonde guys who are just so hot, but also like Garrett's, God forgive me, because I'm a very regular looking person. I'm sure maybe.
Stop it. No, you're beautiful. How dare you?
I'm not compliment fishing, I swear to God. But
I know you're not, but I feel it.
Thank you. But like Garrett is ugly. Like he's not.
He's so unattractive.
Like he's not just not for me, like he is for me, like decidedly unattractive, right? And then he's a terrible human on top of that. Like,
yeah, he would need to be working overtime.
Yes,
like, for me to be like, okay, because aesthetically, like if I just scroll by and look at his picture, I'm like, eh, like, but maybe if you have like a really good personality, exactly. You make me laugh or something like that, like I could find you more attractive. But like he is trash.
His name is listed as Bitcoin investor, but he doesn't have enough Bitcoin that he didn't need to come on this show. So he's nothing. He's trash. Okay. He's not attractive. Like, who is he for?
Who is he for? And I'm sitting here, and all I think when I see Sarah is like, girl, how low is your self-esteem? Because this man ain't even cute.
No.
He out here embarrassing you. He got his girlfriend playing along.
Wait. But did you recognize his girlfriend from the FaceTime?
Yes, Love Island USA too.
And she's on the next season of The Challenge.
What is happening?
I'm not kidding. She is.
I don't like the merging of The Challenge with the rest of CBS Viacom properties. Call me a old.
The Challenge takes anything gamer. Now. They're just like, oh.
Wait, but here's the thing. Do you think The Challenge would call me? I didn't make it into the Big Brother Canada house, but like, I'm kind of affiliated.
Big Brother Canada?
I think that they've made calls, but no one's actually made it on. But someone from Big Brother Canada is on the next season of X on the Beach.
They have a man on who is
Jamar
from a show called
season
12 Dates of Christmas. I don't even know what that is.
What is that? And then they
exactly
got like Israeli fucking reality shows I've never heard of. Like, what are you doing?
What is the 12 Dates of Christmas? No. So I'm sorry. Anyway,
for nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Jenny, who was your your embarrassing hot guy was? Yeah.
Well, it was Greg. It's Greg because I knew that like once they crept his social media, I was like, this is a bad call for me. but the nose ring and the beard.
Who's your guy who should win or whatever?
Well, here's the thing. They kind of. I don't understand how you win this show.
It's unclear still how you get money.
I don't understand what we're trying to do here, which is part of my problem with this show is like there was talk of money and now there's no. We thought that they were going to have to try to figure out who was an F boy or who was a nice guy. And we just got to fifth episode and now we know who everyone is. And the show is like half over. So I still don't understand how people get money in this show, but I was saying that I felt the best about Sarah and Josh, but I felt like she really friend zoned him. I'm very confused. I really like Josh because he's like he's not like toxic in that like you know he gets super super jealous and like lashes out like. When they were in that boat and she was like, spent the date talking about how Garrett was a fuckboy and has a girlfriend and all this shit. Like, he didn't make it about himself. He listened and he like had his confessional where he was like, I don't know why she's spending this date talking about Garrett, but I'm going to use this to show her that I'm like supportive. And I was like, okay, that's how you do this.
He's very intelligent as well as intelligent.
And I love that shit. I love that.
He's like, look, Even when she picked, was it Chris? That weirdo, she picked Chris to go with her.
Kate, can we talk about that for 1 second? Because at the end of the first batch of episodes, Sarah was like, bye, Chris, you're going home. And CJ had to cause a whole situation to send Matt home to save Chris. Yeah. And now Sarah's like, Chris, do you want to come on an overnight date with me? You just sent him home.
I don't know what's going on with Sarah.
Sarah has low self-esteem. The thing is,
Sarah's just there is how I feel about out of the women.
Oh, that's interesting. I feel like Sarah is just there, but I like her being just there more than I like whatever Nakia's doing. But I like Josh because he's set because he knows he's on a game show, but he also is like really invested as a man, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a very sweet kind of balance that he's figured out, right? Like he's likable, he's smart, he understands what's going on and he understands how he should do it, but also manages to be authentic the whole time. So when Sarah took Chris on the date to the bat, to the hot tub and was grossed out by him.
He was so weird. Why was he such an angry? Like, why am I sorry?
Why would you lick whipped cream off of me? Like, why is that what you want to do right away?
She told me they've not had like any, like a drip of sexual tension between them up until that point. Like, that's like out of nowhere.
When Chris said, I look good in a hot tub, I was like, I'm going to smack your face. Like, yeah. Everyone looks good in a, like, what do you, if you look good out of a hot tub, you look good in a hot tub. What's the difference?
Honestly, I don't look good in a hot tub. I look sweaty.
I saw you do a hot tub stream and you looked fine. Okay. Your boobs looked incredible.
But also, like, it's so stupid to be on a show where they cast you for being good looking and being like, I'm good looking. You know what I'm saying?
Like, look at who you're standing next to. Like, what are you flexing about?
Yes. But what I liked was he was like, I didn't expect her to take Chris on the date, but obviously it means I need to step up. So I'm going to do that. And I was like, this guy, I'm into it. So I like this Josh as your
friend. I don't know that they're like super into each other, but I feel like they have like, sometimes
the best to him.
I think he's definitely into her, but like, and I don't know if it's because of the Garrett shit and that's like clouding her vision.
Why is she into Garrett? Garrett's ugly. Garrett is ugly.
They're two like white blonde people. Yeah. Yes.
I think that there's it's frustrating sometimes to watch shows like these as a black person because it's like there are all these dynamics that I pick up on that I don't think producers pick up on or the editors pick up on or the audience in general picks up on. I'm like, okay, CJ doesn't date black dudes. Sarah barely dates black. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like there are things that I want to talk to you about, but I'm wondering if I'm being a sellout by mentioning them to you. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Sarah is intimidated by Josh's blackness because it's very clear that he should be the person she's focused on. Mm-hmm.
He's the best one.
There's like producer in her ear being like, keep Garrett around because this is a good storyline. Yeah, I don't understand how you're keeping this guy around when you have someone like
Josh. But she could keep Garrett around and not be so like, oh, but I think maybe like it could be like, oh, I want to get to the bottom of it. Not like the way she is. But you were in the middle of a point, Ray.
Yeah, sorry.
But it's just like, yeah, there are just things like you pick up on or like I guess I just can't explain it. It's just things, you know, as a black woman that you're just like, okay, all right, I get this dynamic here. Or one of my friends framed it this way. She was like, you can see the black dudes using their work voice, their white people corporate voice to try and get chosen or whatever in ways that like, sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like OG Jared, you don't talk like that. I hope you don't talk like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing too, where it's like just because of the society we live in, people feel like they have to change the way they speak or act in a certain way to get chosen. Like
Colin is okay. I feel bad talking to two white women about this, but
We will listen and just learn.
No. I don't need this to be like, we're going to hear you, whatever. No.
Oh, no, not in a weird way, but because I want to hear what you have to say.
Because, like, Colin is a, God forgive me, nigga. He's a straight up nigga. Like, he is a man who knows he's fine and blows through attractive, light-skinned black women. Like, I know exactly his type. He's a barber slash model slash whatever, actor, whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
It's all the slashes. You're like, why are there so many?
Why are there so many slashes?
Hey, what are you doing?
That's the one thing I don't like about the show. Everyone's obviously trying to get famous. And the only person that is successful on is CJ. She knows how to make a TV show. But she's also older than everyone else, right? With the exception of maybe Sean and a couple people.
Yeah, I think so.
But like, so she's very savvy in a way that's very useful. But everybody else is trying to be famous and don't necessarily know how to be savvy in that way. But Colin is faking. I know men like Colin.
Colin could literally ruin my life, and I know that he would.
He would.
Yeah, of course he's an F-boy. We knew.
But not only is he an F-boy, but he's, I don't think he's just an, I think he's a terrorist. And he's like on this show pretending to be something he's not. Mm-hmm. Listen, I guess the closest I can think, I think the most, okay, the most accessible reference I can make is, you guys went to college, I'm assuming.
Yes.
I could be wrong. This is not judgment. Do you remember how the athletes acted when you were at school?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't. I went to a super artsy school, so I didn't. Oh. There weren't a lot of athletics.
Okay, the school I went to, the football players were a different level than everybody else.
Our sport was rowing. Okay, so no one was no one was better than
anyone. Sorry, you went to a shitty school.
I know you went to a school where they play Olympic sports. The sports you only see every 4 years.
Rowing, like, listen, okay, polo. My school
water polo.
We did not have football.
See, my school every year would get to the final. They would win for the West of Canada and then go to Quebec and lose to the school in Quebec every single year. But they were like the second best team.
Okay. So you went to a school where athletics mattered.
Yeah.
Canada and America have
different. It is different. It is different.
Yeah.
But do you remember how the black athletes were?
See, and this is the thing where the school I went to, there were very few black people in the school I went to, which is such a problem, like not good. But there, I would say that most of the black people at my university were in the athletics department. And yeah, it's a different level.
It's a different swagger. It's a different life, right? And so I don't think Colin actually was a black athlete at school. At least that's not what I gather from his bio. But he moves like a black college football player. Like, his energy is like that. And it's like a very specific thing that I reject aggressively.
Well, and I think it's the thing too, where like a lot of that's like swagger would come from like an athlete, right? But also just from being so aggressively good looking. Oh, wait. Not me looking at his Instagram and he was a football player.
Oh, was he?
Literally, there we go. It says in his Instagram bio, it says UT20.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding.
Which UT?
You clocked him. You clocked him.
Oh, shit. Well, you see, I'll get to the Twitter stuff now. He tried to call me ugly on Twitter. And I was
pardon
me. I know this guy. Yeah. So here's the thing. I didn't like Colin from watching the show. And I know that I'm in the minority on this opinion, but I don't like OG Jared, but I thought that the way that everyone went at him in, was it episode 5 or episode 6?
Where they tried to get him mad on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was very whack. I hated that a lot.
It was not okay.
For me, it was, do I think he's lying? Of course. He's not falling in love with this girl. It's a fucking TV show.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And Nakia's whack for thinking that anybody fell in love with her when $100,000 is on the line.
How long has it been? Like A week?
2 weeks.
Well, also, she was twisting words where she kept on being like, he said he loves me. And I was like, he did not say that.
He did not say that. He said, I'm falling for you because he didn't want to get eliminated. Girl, yeah. We all saw it.
And I loved, sorry to distract you. I loved OG Jared's way of being like, yeah, I said I was falling, which means my heart is open to maybe feeling something for you.
That backpedal, though.
Is that fuckboy language? Yes. Where there's room for a woman to infer things so she'll give of herself more than she probably should.
Yes.
But they called that out. The men did call that out, right? They just didn't need to do what they did.
Well, so my frustration with that scenario was this. Colin is doing the exact same thing OG Jared is doing. So my thing is, y'all both came on the show as fuckboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you thought you had a leg up. And then you saw Jared closing in on you. And so now we need to cause a scene. Why are we ganging up and causing a scene because his F-boy game, slightly different, but still F-boy game, is working just as much as yours?
Well, and also now they're trying to do this thing where it's like, they do it, I have to save you from the other one. We're like, okay, we're all F-boys, but I'm the one that's seeing through the other person's bullshit. So tell me
how different Colin is from Chris.
Except I think Chris gave more accurate information.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and Colin waited until everything was exposed and his back was against the wall and he had nothing. He had to prove something.
Just the last point too, which obviously like I feel like you're going to get to anyways, is it's like Colin knows what it means to try and brand another black man as aggressive on the show. Like he understands he knows the implications of that. Like I'm sure Colin wouldn't want to be called aggressive or have that like microaggression against him.
I do think that OG Jared is, his temper is whack.
They've already seen a reality show. Like there's another layer of that audience is going to see it and judge it in a different way.
And he's darker than Colin as well.
And they had seen the Jared versus Jared thing that happened. And I did not like that episode. So they're like, let's get him going again. Like we know how to push this guy's buttons. So like,
I had another Twitter fight with that Jared too.
Okay.
So
Ray versus
you've been out here in this Twitter stream.
Girl, I didn't invite it. I think so. So with Colin and OG Jared, it just pissed me off because it felt like Colin felt himself losing. And so he needed to, his behavior wasn't concerned for Nakia. It was a sore loser shit. You know what I mean? So I didn't like that. So this is what happened with Colin on Twitter. And I took screenshots because someone informed me that he deleted everything.
Okay.
You always take screenshots when there's an interaction happening that you're like, I'm going to need to show somebody.
That's the thing. Like, I never take screenshots because I think screenshots are insane. I think it's weird to have other people's words in your phone. Like,
what are you going to do with it, right? Are you going to keep like a million screenshots in your phone?
That is so weird. But somebody was like, oh, he deleted everything. And I was like, oh, this is going to be useful later for podcasts. That's the only reason I said it.
If someone's being a dick to me, I'm screenshotting it. I want to remember if you ever change your tune with me again. Okay. I will never forget this shit.
So petty. I love it. Okay. So the Colin situation.
So I was live tweeting, watching the second batch of episodes on Friday night. And so I think Nakia is whack. I think she is so whack. I think she's insanely beautiful. I think she's so whack as a person. She is a bad picker, but also like she weirdly takes moral stances on the most useless issue. Like it just like, I just think she's corny. I just think she's corny. So we finally get to the big blow up with Colin and Jared and Nakia somewhere in there. First of all, she could have very easily mediated that. You guys, stop arguing. None of this impresses me. But she like stormed off in a very, she's 28. She's too old for that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. When she gets on the table and you're like, what are you doing?
Like, girl, what are you doing? This is loser shit. I don't know. I just think she's corny. I just think she's corny. I think she's absolutely stunning though, but I just think she's corny. But anyway, so I said, I don't think I like Colin much. I don't like OG Jared either. His temper is a bad, bad look. So then Colin, these guys search their names on hashtags.
Of course. Of course.
Very amateur thing to do. And I learned the hard way. So I don't want it to seem like I'm a hypocrite, but the first season of Black Lady Sketch Show, I searched the hashtag and cussed everybody out. So this is me knowing from experience that it's a bad look to do that, because you can't argue people into liking you. Yeah, and when you release stuff to the public, they're entitled to their opinions about it. You don't, you know what I'm saying? You shouldn't get to run interference, in my opinion, just because you're as long as someone's not lying about you or making up something, I think you just let people have their opinions and you let them have their social media space to discuss it. That's theirs. I respect
especially that. If they're not tagging you too,
yes, right? Anybody, that exactly. is a very important thing to me. If you purposely wanted to talk to your friends and didn't directly insult me, God bless you. Talk about the thing that you want to talk about. Great. Mm-hmm. So I said what I just said to you guys about not liking Colin or OG Jared, whatever. So Colin searches his name and he's like, what I do? And I basically told him, I think that you're inauthentic. I don't know if anybody else is fooled by him, but from the first episode, I was like, something's off about this guy. Whatever. So I explained that I thought he was inauthentic and that I thought it was whack that you guys are both F boys, but you're trying to paint Jared as worse than you. Like, it just seemed whack to me. And then he says very rudely, mind you, he asked me why I didn't like him. Yeah.
He started it.
Yeah.
So then he asked, I think you haven't been watching close enough, but that's fine. What you don't understand is not my problem. Okay, sassy. Okay, nose ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, you're the dork who searched your name in the hashtag and asked my opinion. Don't catch an attitude because you got an answer you didn't like. Right? Then he goes, you're wasting your time watching me, but okay. Which is stupid. You want me to watch you. That's like,
that's
you
the whole point.
You want to be. And I go, there are like 40 people on that damn show. I tune in mainly for CJ. Get a grip, you dork. I love calling people dorks.
No, I like it. I like it a lot.
And then he goes, nice profile pic, laughing my ass off. Have a lovely day. So it's like, okay, now you're calling me ugly. And I'm like, Colin, you're a loser. This is sad.
Well, right. God forbid you have a profile picture where you show an emotion. Are you supposed to? You should be smiling for these men.
But also, like, a guy like him thinks calling or implying that a girl is unattractive is an insult because
it's like a cool flex. Yeah.
On F-Boy Island. And he goes, get a life. And I'm like, a man who searches his name under a hashtag for a trashy reality show and asked me why I didn't like his character on the show is telling me to get a life. This is loser shit, Colin. I'm so disappointed in you.
It was so good.
And then he goes, have a blessed day. You save, stay safe. And then I go, condescending, have a blessed day after starting a fight. Fuck boy, indeed. Like, you, like, of course, a guy like him would think asking me about his character on the show. First of all, I am talking about the character on the show. I don't know this man, but I know he was a character on the show.
You're edited. You are still edited.
And then also, I didn't say fuck Colin or Colin ain't shit. I said, I don't like Colin much. I didn't call him anything. I didn't call him. I think the worst I called him was whack, or I said Colin sucks. Like, I didn't say he was a terrible human being or whatever. But for me, any man who calls a woman ugly to win an argument or implies a woman is ugly or something like that to win an argument is super whack. So if you were trying to convince me that my read on you was wrong,
you failed.
You failed. Yeah.
Because my response to, I'm not saying that I would have a sweet response to me, but if somebody said I was inauthentic on a show about sussing out fuckboys versus nice guys, I'd be like, keep watching, or your read is wrong or whatever, you know, something like that.
Or you would say nothing because you have better things to do with your life than search for your name in a hashtag for an HBO
and try to convince strangers.
Like, go talk to your 5,000 Instagram followers, Colin, like CJ and Nikki
have both more followers than him on Instagram too. I thought it was just on Twitter. Okay.
Well, because let me confirm. I'm gonna confirm because I don't want to give false news because I am a journalist, obviously. I love he's the only person using the hashtag Colin F Boy.
Oh my god.
It's so funny.
He's whack. And it's like the reason I don't think Nakia likes him as a person. I think she thinks he's hot and likes kissing him. And he reinforced that for me. I know it's stupid to expect that there would be anything more deep than these shallow sexual attractions to people on this show. But
I know you crush him in Instagram followers too. You have a couple thousand on him.
Okay.
Here's
And so it's just like, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I'm an actually accomplished person. You're not going to make me feel bad for not being as pretty as the woman you want to dog out on TV. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just something about him just gave inauthentic. And you remember I was talking about the corporate voice. I know Colin don't talk like that. Colin don't talk like that, but he keeps doing the in the confessionals. He's like, you know, like Nakia hasn't kissed me yet and it's an obstacle. Why is her not being ready to kiss you an obstacle? Like, what? He's used to his looks getting him what he wants.
Yeah.
And he's not prepared for an ugly girl to not think he's dope. And that's a mistake when you want to be a public figure, right? Like, you're the one who talked about wanting to, I guess, be famous with Nakia. That's why she dumped the water on you, because you kept talking about your influencer possibilities with her and not who she was.
We both do hair or something. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, and then this
is shallow.
Well, this is my issue with Nakia, is that she understandably is like, these guys like are saying very like vapid things about like our connection that have nothing to do with me. But like, I don't feel like I'm getting a ton from Nakia about how like these men either, where it's like, oh, we have like, you know, when we're kissing, like everything around me melts. And we get that, and we get, I'm trying to figure out if this person is an F boy or not.
Exactly.
Like, I don't get a lot of like her really reading their personality either.
Think about it. Could OG Jared work on you if you were anybody with sense? Could he possibly work on you if you were anybody in sense? He sounds like he's lying all the fucking time.
Okay. I'm not defending him at all, but I feel like when you are the one being lied to versus seeing someone lie to somebody else, like, it's so easy for us to be like, oh yeah, obviously they're all F boys. They all suck. They're all lying. I feel like if someone's lying straight to my face, I'd probably believe them because I'm an idiot.
But she is so pretty. Men have been lying to her whole life.
Well, that's what she's been saying. She's like, I've paid my dues. And, for the person who's been the most obsessed of trying to figure out, all she does is talk about, I'm trying to figure out if this person's an F boy. She's been saying since the beginning she got F boy vibes from Colin. The guys she was narrowing down all ended up being F boys. Like,
so Nakia is shallow too, is ultimately what you should conclude from that. And she's just as vapid as the people she's complaining about, because if you had learned your lesson, You know what I'm saying? How old is she? Like 28 or something like that. If she had learned her lesson and she was on the show to really find a husband, this would not be complicated for her. Greg with his heart haircut, Drake, very obviously a fuck boy. Do not trust a man who caresses his beard as much as he does. Okay.
A nice beard.
Okay. Oh, his beard's like a little too long for me personally.
It's a little long, but it's like,
I mean, they showed, do you remember that clip that they showed us for us in the interstitial when they have the men like doing their thing and he's washing his beard? You dork, what are you doing? Like, what,
he's
you,
shampooing his face?
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's not Instagram content.
I know you gotta tender take care of your beard, but like, bruh, no.
Can we talk about sorry, this is a complete sidetrack. Can we talk about CJ putting Casey in the bottom two just to prove a point, and then Nikki being like, oh, all six of you are going home?
I think production went in her ear right then. Like, I think Nikki, you know, do these hosts of these shows, I know they read teleprompters, but they also have people in their ear, right?
I think so, they, yeah, because she was like, wait, Charlie is saying he's a nice guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think production was like, okay, we were going to save the whole double elimination or whatever for another week, but this is too juicy. She's in a funeral outfit. Let's send them all home, you know.
And also, like, I love the punishing of like punishing them for doing the, like, you're in the doghouse by putting you in my bottom two, but I'm definitely not eliminating you. Like, yeah. I'm just doing this as a signal to say, like, you better shape up. And they're like, oh, well, I guess you fucked up. They're all going. Yes. CJ's like, wait,
that was
Casey's like, how dare you eliminate me? And CJ's like, I didn't.
But she then didn't. The next,
I thought Casey was in the wrong in that situation. And
I'm 100%. No. Because, like, uh-oh, the thing is, in theory, it's not great for someone to tell their, like, love interest who they could be friends with. I get that. But yes, the way Casey came at CJ being like, well, you know, like, I'm a man and we're equal partners. And we had,
okay,
like, listen, yeah, not official boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, you are in a situation where CJ has all of the power. You have to go with her.
I was on Casey's side when he was talking in confessional about it and pointing out, like, I felt like she was trying to tell me who I can hang out with, and I don't love that. When he was explaining it that way, I was like, yeah, this is kind of messed up. Like, what Garrett's doing has nothing to do with him, and I don't know why she's making that an issue between the two of you when it has nothing to do with you. So I was taking Casey's side there. However, his execution of trying to have that conversation was messy. But I kind of wasn't on either of their side on how they handled that conversation, because he didn't do a good job of, like, he was definitely being like, you know, all of these other guys are going to let you, like, step all over them. But, like, that's not going to happen with me. I'm like, okay, you don't say it that way. Like, that's not the right way. But he's also, like, the way that she,
listen, babe, I can't have someone telling me what to do.
But how she handled it also wasn't good either. And so I felt like the whole situation was a disaster. But I will say, like, I do think there was merit to what Casey was saying, because I think that she was getting weirdly fixated on, I didn't understand why what Garrett did or didn't do being a problem between the two of them.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually am 100% on her side. I actually think Casey had no merit. I think if they were in the real world, he might have some. But
that's fair. But I think, like, this is like a pressure cooker where, like, you know, they're going through this weird experience and, like, they become very close with these people. And so he's like, I don't know what his life is like outside of here, but, like, I can't sit next to my friend.
Well, so the thing is, one, Casey was a loser for not sitting next to his friend just because his girl walked in. That's loser shit. You sucker. You gave in already, and now you're trying to flex later, or you had time to think about it. You wanted to feel like a man. Boy, bye. I love Casey, by the way. Casey's the one that I'm ashamed that I think is hot.
So we're on the same page there. Perfect.
I think he's so adorable. I would totally fall for it. And Sean is my, I want to win. But my thing about Casey is this: if this were the real world, I would agree with you. But here we are on a show where we're all competing to win over the heart of some woman or $100,000, right? After taxes, maybe 50K. And then you would split it with a girl, so 25K. But it still counts, okay?
It's still money.
We don't even know if that's how it works. But
right?
Yeah.
I don't.
It's like too hot to handle. They will not tell us how the payout works until it is time to give it. And we have to just accept it. They're hot tummies on an island. It's fine.
And so my thing is, you're here for me, and you suddenly think that your bond with this stranger is bigger than the mission that you're on the show for. I think that's whack. It's very clear that Casey and CJ are super into each other. People weren't even approaching CJ because they knew it was so locked in. So here you are, coasting to $100,000, and you're defending a very clear fuckboy. And it's not like you're defending him on characteristics that maybe somebody misinterpreted, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here he is trying to make a good guy out of a guy who we know, obviously Casey doesn't, we know via confessional is garbage and is faking it for $100,000. And is only there to win the game. There's no argument that you can make to justify his behavior within the parameters of the show. Now, if this was real life and he goes, listen, I don't have anything to do with what my friend does. I love him for different reasons than you might get to know him. Then I can understand making that case. But we are here for the express purpose of falling in love, quote unquote, or winning $100,000 on the way to falling in love. You've demonstrably been terrible to a woman. Somebody sold you out. It's one thing to go, I didn't know he was like that. My bad. I'm not going to disown him. But Casey was in there trying to defend him. That's a difference.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't notice the defending of him because I felt like I was trying to, like, I don't recall what scenes Casey was just being like, he's a great guy, definitely didn't have a girlfriend, because
he did that twice.
Immediately, CJ was like, your boy, like, what's this about? So I was kind of confused about like where that came from, because I felt like in the next episode, she was like, he was like, I didn't know about this. Like, yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't believe him that he didn't know, to be honest with you. I don't believe him that he didn't know. You can't firmly, he's my best friend in the house and I know he's a good guy, if you didn't know. How did Casey, best friend in the house, know, but the person we barely saw get camera time knew enough to tell?
That's a good point. Yeah. How the hell did Matt
also think
know?
That these guys are shallow and not talking about this kind of stuff.
Oh, you think
so?
Yeah,
but like, but how did Matt know about it if Casey didn't know about it? That's a really good point. Like, how do you justify? I don't know. And I
feel like that is bros sticking together. And then that makes me distrust Casey, because we found out Casey's also a fuckboy.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like I queued that up in the first batch where I was like, I'm really into Casey. He must be an F boy.
Yes, of course.
the way that he, I didn't want him to be a fuckboy. But do you remember when they were on that paddle boat or whatever?
Yes.
And he was talking about when he explained to her that he used to be a bad guy when he was in high school, but he's different now.
Yeah,
like what,
most
2 days ago?
They're bad in high school and then instantly good right after.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how that
like,
works.
Hello, when you go to college looking like you're a sweet kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It gets worse.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, you go ahead.
Yeah, so it was just like, and then also like, let's be real. Like, I think I watch reality TV through like a production lens. Not that I don't enjoy it as a viewer, but I'm always thinking about what's happening with production that we don't see that's shaping the show. And I think it's like very clear that we're on a reality TV show and the game is that the women are in control. So you're a fucking idiot if you're sitting here acting like the power dynamics aren't so. So here it is. Here's a woman you have to protect, or a woman you have to impress. And her interest is in protecting the other woman on the cast who this is focused on. And you see her show you that that is her goal or her intention in this moment. And you, dummy, can't identify that she's invested in protecting her co-star, and you're trying to insist on your manhood on a show that asks you to embarrass yourself by calling yourself a fuckboy on national television. This is where you want to assert yourself as a man. Come on, Casey, you stupid as hell. I don't know. I just thought it was so stupid.
I agree. But yeah, so Casey gets sent home purely because CJ's like, well, I'm going to show him that he's in the doghouse. And then all that six gets sent
punishing
home.
Her for yes. playing with one of the most important storylines that they had.
Just absolutely beautiful. And I loved everything about it.
Well, it's funny that CJ pipes up when Chris was about to be eliminated. She's like, no, this can't happen. Why didn't she fight harder against this decision? Right.
Well, because I think
they were sending everyone home. Yeah. There wasn't any case.
Why couldn't she be like, I'll swap them out for someone else here. If you want to get rid of six, I'll choose somebody else. Like,
that would have been amazing.
The rules were negotiable. Like, why couldn't, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe
we already
production told her she couldn't negotiate.
That's what
like
I was saying.
Again.
I'm like, something's happening here.
Yeah, she might have gotten in trouble for being difficult.
That's exactly true.
They're like, none of this. You can't argue with us anymore.
But also, CJ seems like somebody who knows how to make good television. And I think she would have gone along with that. But the thing that bothered me in that moment, like removing the reality TV aspect of it. Boy, you were out here chasing me hard, okay? You wanted everything CJ was about, right? CJ dumps you, and now she's the most terrible person in the world. She doesn't deserve any of the men in this house. If you think such terrible things about me, why are you mad?
I think that when people get rejected or they get hurt, they choose to fixate on the little glimpses of negative traits that they've been, you know, trying to like, they spin it in a way so that they can feel better about their decision. Yeah. So they're like, you know what? I like, you don't deserve me and you don't deserve any of these.
So then why? Listen, I feel you. I've done it. I've lashed out when I've been rejected. Absolutely 1000%. Great. You don't get to hitchhike back to me then. You lashed out like a child when I dumped you on a game show. Mm-hmm. You understand the premise of this show? You understand what we're doing here?
I don't think some of them do.
Right? That's true. But like it wasn't just, oh, he responded poorly. He really went in. She's shallow. She doesn't deserve the men. Why would you go back to a person who you think those things about? Like,
because Nikki Glaser is an incredible therapist and she has managed to get him to a place where he's realize his wrongdoing and now he needs to run.
Laying on a coconut.
Yeah. Okay. There's something about Limbro that really gets you thinking.
Yes, because they're definitely sleeping there.
They're weirdly showered.
No hotel. They're clean.
Yeah. The sand is very, very clean there. There's not a lot of dust getting on them for some reason.
There's exactly one cot, but they're all there.
They take turns. They sleep in shifts.
Actually. No, they're in a cuddle puddle. Okay, they all lay on top of each other to sleep in one cot. It's totally fine. Something else that was kind of like a theme of the first few episodes is Colin just getting so mad anytime he didn't get what he wanted. Like he'll be like, "Oh, yes, I just deserved the overnight date.
I deserve this." Specifically what stands out in my mind is that confessional where he's frustrated he didn't get a kiss yet. And I'm like, why are you so entitled?
No, I feel like he was getting kisses and then OG Jared was mad that he wasn't getting kisses. But
there is a specific confessional where he talks about, because OG Jared gets mad that she finally kissed Because remember, it was a saga for her and Colin. Nakia and Colin had a saga where she wouldn't kiss him. And then Nakia's first kiss with Colin is when OG Jared gets mad. So it's like
a
storyline.
Hey, I'm just confusing both of them. Yeah.
Yes, because they're both dickheads.
You're
another
right.
Another reason why I didn't understand why Colin got so mad. You're mad because his game is also working. Mm-hmm. But there was, like, I remember there was specifically a confessional where he was like, oh, I haven't gotten a kiss yet. And it's frustrating me because, but it's like just another obstacle or something like that. And I was like, why are you frustrated? You don't get a kiss.
That's why is everything an obstacle? Like, stop it.
Yes. Like, I don't know. Like, I do think that the show is doing wonders to subvert the genre, but there's still some like entitlement, because when you get men, it just is what it is. Society has raised people a certain way. And so you're going to get patriarchal elements, even if you sort of designed the show otherwise. So there's that, but also, you know, that was also part of why I resisted the first episode. I was so fucking turned off when they had all the men sort of standing there in a group. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the pool from Nikki. So, okay, here's a barrier, a whole pool. We respect Nikki. She's on the other side there. Mm-hmm. But the women, oh, we're just going to parade them in front of this group of guys. Yeah. We're going to catcall them while they're barely clothed. I thought that was so disgusting.
Like, I just think in that situation, you're one of the men on this show. You should have the common sense to realize maybe don't like catcall these women. Like, that was so gross. You're right. You're right.
It was like, it was such a bizarre thing because it seemed so incongruous with the rest of the premise mm-hmm. of the show. It was just like, okay, we're going to parade these women. Even if you paraded the women, because obviously this is about good looking people wanting to fuck each other, right?
Yeah.
If you were going to, every other moment on the show when Nikki's on camera with the women, there is a divide. Nikki and the women are over here and the men are over here. So why in the introductory moments of the show did we give the separation for Nikki but not for, it just felt like a weird.
Yeah, and I think that's something that like the production team probably wouldn't have even thought about how it is displayed, like, and how others would view it. I think that's a really smart.
But I'd be looking for stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I was saying, because if you were on production of a team of like a show like this, you'd be looking to protect the contestants and not like imagine. Take advantage of them.
Well, and I was saying, like, after I watched the premiere, I was like, I felt very confused by that whole scene because I was like, I felt like the women didn't even know what they were supposed to do in that moment. Okay. Like, you know, like one of them just strutted by.
Yes.
One of them stopped and like, you know, like, touched them a bit and mm-hmm. stuff. And it was like, it was very confusing what the point of that was.
Yes.
Also, could we have a show where like, do we always have to start things off in bikinis and high heels?
Yes.
Like, they're, I'm just saying, like,
wait, that's not what you wear.
You don't wear a sarong in real life all the time.
I want anyone listening to this podcast to just know that I spend my life in a bikini and high heels.
I clean my house in a bikini and high heels all the time. It's my go-to outfit. I just think like these people are attractive and we're going to see them in bathing suits at some point anyway. Why do we have to start it that way? I feel like meeting people on the very, like your introduction to people in a bikini and high heels. It's, I don't know, but maybe I just don't understand because I'm not hot, but like, I just don't know.
You are hot.
Like, Jenny, stop it. Take it back. How dare you?
But you know what I'm saying?
This.
It's like, I don't like think that's how that I want to meet.
Kind of sex pot TV reality.
Right. Yeah. Like not getting cast on Love Island or Effort Island.
America, listen, Canada, whoever's listening.
Jenny, you are like, okay,
this isn't about me. I'm just
Botox injectable away from reality TV hot. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, why, like, these people are attractive. There are going to be numerous opportunities to have them in their bathing suits if you think that that's really going to be attracting certain people to this show, which I don't even feel like at this point it really matters. Mm-hmm. Why are you, like, starting the show off this way? Because I feel like this show has like a little bit something to it where it's kind of make well, it's not more, it's more than a little bit of something. It's kind of making fun of these other shows.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's so ironic. Like,
why not do things a little bit differently?
Yes, that was a weird thing. I was like, oh, this is very strange, because the show is on purpose trying to put all the power in the women's hands. But here you are disempowering them in the first shot we see of them. You have them walking a catcalling line. That is so strange. And and I honestly low key didn't even notice it, except for how uncomfortable Sarah looked walking the line. If you know, because CJ loved it. Okay. She loved that shit. So like CJ looked very comfortable, and Nakia, she's been a bad bitch, obviously, her whole life. Yeah. So she walked it very comfortably, but Sarah, I like Sarah because she's very normal in that way. Yes. Like, she's obviously an attractive woman, but she's the closest to like relatable of the three. And it was like very clear. She didn't quite know what to do up there. And that was when it clicked for me. I was like, oh, this is awkward. This is awkward. And I just didn't understand ultimately, not like capital M trying to cancel the show, but like the misogynist introduction to a show that's ultimately subverting the patriarchy in whatever way that it's doing just seemed like an odd choice, especially since the show doesn't do any more of that. All those interstitials objectify the men. They show them lifting weights, they show them showering, dancing, whatever. So I didn't understand how we had to start with a objectifying the women. That, you know, it just seems like a weird choice in that moment.
The vibe really changes after that.
Yes, sure. And then like, you know, Nikki is so very clothed. She's very not naked. It's such a bizarre thing.
It's really weird.
Forever,
but. It's well, there's just, I feel like there's only a couple more things that happened that we should talk about. I think it's at the second elimination, they eliminate nobody and just expose who all the nice guys and the F boys are. So I think we should run through who the nice guys and the F boys are. So the nice guys left are Josh, Fernando, New Jared, and Sean.
New Jared is not a nice guy.
Well, but that's the problem. When you let the men self-identify, the worst men you've ever met will say they're nice guys.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying is like, why didn't the production have any decision here?
Well, so what's weird is they cast the nice guys and F boys from different pools. They pretended they were two different shows and cast them separately. And then brought them in. But it's like, regardless of what show you are casting men on, the ones that are self-identifying as nice, they're going to be the worst people you've ever met in your entire life.
Have you ever met a man who called himself nice?
That's a red flag.
And treated you well?
Like,
people have treated me best romantically, knew they wasn't shit, and were trying.
Yes.
The thing is, if someone is genuinely nice and good, they don't have to tell you that. They will show you that with their actions. They're not going to be like, oh, I'm a nice guy. No, you're not. You're nothing.
Also,
you
need to insist.
Would a nice guy try to win pussy and $100,000 on TV?
No, they'd be like, I'm lucky to be around a woman.
Okay. That's just, and New Jared, let's talk about New Jared for a quick second. New Jared is a handsome, ethnically ambiguous, but probably black dude from Miami. Where they make nice guys like that at? They don't make that. They don't make that. Have you ever met a nice man from Miami who looks good? Miami is scammer city. An Instagram popular. You found him on Instagram and he told you he was a nice guy. You believed him?
I'm Florida in general.
Because that's the thing too, is they cast the people, like the quote unquote nice guys, as people who are trying to go on a show to find love, where we've seen year after year after year that the guys who go on those shows are not nice.
Yeah. No, they're not nice. But my immediate turnoff as a black woman of New Jared was when he got into an argument with OG Jared. Excuse me. He called OG Jared's hair nappy. My thing is this. You can diss each other on personality basis or whatever. Sorry, I'm burpy.
And we've all been having a couple of drinks.
This wine is getting to you, girl. But OG Jared and him get into an argument. And if I remember correctly, I think that new Jared started it poking a little bit, but OG Jared with his crazy temper, his narcissist crazy temper, took it to the next level. I remember he called him a goober. Who calls? Are you?
We're calling each other goobers. Yeah, I'm like, what is happening here? I was sitting here being like, wait, is goober a thing that's actually getting said again that I just like missed the boat? Like, I don't understand.
I love a reintroduction of childish insults. I call people dorks and dweebs all the time. I think it's really fun. I just didn't know that we were comfortable reintroducing goober. Yeah, but if we talking about goobers, I guess we'll
goober.
Do it.
I just goober always makes me think of BoJack Horseman, where the like goofy neighbor was named Goober, and he'd be like, "Go home, Goober."
Goober is such a goofy neighbor name, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But so my thing with new Jared is, this is another thing that I think production can't be aware of if they're predominantly white, is that colorism is an issue. Featureism is another issue. Featureism would be that features of Black people that are traditionally African. So you're talking broad lips. You're talking not broad lips, big lips, broad noses, tougher hair, 4C texture hair. So 4C would be the kinkiest hair texture. I have it. And Jared, in my opinion, looks mixed. Jared, new Jared, looks mixed. He looks like he has at least a grandparent or something that's white or Indian. He looks like he has an Indian history. To me, he looks like Caribbean mixed with Indian background. So like a lot of Trinidadian people look like him, or, you know, Jamaican, where they'll have like Asian in their ancestry. So that's what Jared looks like to me. I'm assuming, I don't know anything about him personally. That's just what he looks like phenotypically to me. If you notice, even though his skin is very dark, he has very straight hair. Right?
Yeah.
And Jared, OG Jared, has hair like mine, 4C texture. He clearly locks it. I don't know if he twists it himself, but his hair is dreadlocked. And it looks like he hasn't done any upkeep in recent times. So his locks are kind of twisted at the end, but his hair is kind of afro and fuzzy at the roots. And when him and OG Jared are arguing, he was like, "Your hair looks nappy, boy." I don't know if he says boy. Let me not add that extra racist thing in there. But when you call a Black person nappy, that is very derogatory. Because nappy is a term that slave owners used to use to describe the kink in hair like mine. And, you know, colorism is an issue people are tackling right now. Featureism is an issue people are tackling right now. And I thought that documentary Chris Rock did called Good Hair in 2012 or 11, whatever it was, did enough explaining of it. Good hair is a backwards ass term, because people thought if you were mixed or if you had white features or whatever, that your hair was good, as opposed to hair like mine, which is nappy. And you can reclaim the term. I use nappy for my hair because I'm trying to reclaim it the same way I use the N-word. It's not necessarily a great thing. I'm embarrassed I use the N-word as much as I do, but, you know, reclamation or whatever. But Jared clearly meant it as an insult when he called his hair nappy. And so for you to be a Black person who it sounds like he isn't aware of the connotations there, but you should be. And for you to be not only calling another Black man, a Black man darker with more curly hair than you, nappy, but around all these white people you doing that, that was sucker shit to me. I immediately got turned off. Like, aside from that, you know, if that's not the baggage that you're bringing to watching the show, that's my own issue, you know. He seems too slick. Don't he feel used car salesman to you?
Well, he does. And that's the thing. I said I think he's hot. That means I know. I know that he's bad and a problem, because I'm attracted to him. And CJ is
legitimately shocked that he's a nice guy. She's like, I'm sorry. Like, I completely wrote you off because I assumed that you were garbage and that you were an F-boy. And she suddenly starts like perking up a little bit.
Okay, and that's so weird. We've got to talk about how weird it is that CJ's like, "Oh, well, now I think new Jared might be a positive person in my life." Like, you've seen how he acts.
Were you a like that? Wait, but don't you like that? That she hears a guy is a nice guy and she shifts her tune? That's what we want Nakia to do.
Yeah, but is he actually a nice guy?
No, he's a slick
one. Well, that's the thing. It's like, if you're getting those vibes, it's yes, for a reason.
It's
like,
for a reason, yeah. Yeah.
He's yeah, like, but I don't know. They've had bad reads on other
just
people.
Just go be with Sean, really please. Nice guy. Go be with Sean.
The thing is, I don't want my CJ. I love me some CJ. But I don't want my CJ to ruin my Sean. Okay?
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
On. Now, he's clearly a terrible person because he's on the show. Right?
What if he's just like a really attractive person who's nice and his friends are just like.
That smile. If he's a contortionist, right?
That's for on the street.
Soleil, listen, I would bend my body whatever fucking way he wants. I'm not flexible. No, I'm not. But I figured it out. I would bend me. However, listen, Sean. He's so damn fine. He's so damn fine. But he doesn't get camera time because he's a nice guy. I think
that's the problem, right?
And I think that CJ knows he's nice because she said, it's the biggest insult, but it's also a compliment. It's terrible that this is true. I hate being a woman socialized to be attracted to toxic men because she was like, my dads would love you. And then the biggest compliment, but also the worst insult if you want to be like on a girl. You know what I'm saying? My dad would love you. Terrible.
Well, I feel like she was almost using that as like a way to filter to see if someone would react poorly to her having two dads.
Why would you report? I guess people might, but I just can't imagine responding poorly to her being raised by somebody.
Right. Know? But like, you never know what people are going to say. Right. So I do feel like that being like a way to test how someone reacts to that would, because if someone reacts poorly to that, you're like, okay, I'm cutting you out of my life.
Yeah.
Forever.
And
like,
he's a contortionist in Vegas. You're going to tell me he has a problem with gay people?
Yeah. I do think that CJ does have those tests, though, where she's like, okay, like if you like, she seems to be the one that has like the checklist, like if you say that's true. If you do this, like you're done. Why she's been able to like cut people so quickly and is like
the
really
one time I
down.
Didn't respond. Oh, two times I didn't respond. I love CJ. I love her down. I think she's amazing television. I think I want to see more of her even off the show. I will follow her. I want to see her. But there are two times that I was like, girl, what are you doing? But fortunately, they all happened in the same episode. So I got to move on.
It was just an off day. Yes.
It was when when somebody said that they were raised by a single mom. She goes, that's hot. I'm like,
yes, I thought that was weird, too.
It was weird. We talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I talked about that last time. I was like, what the fuck? That is such a weird thing to say to someone.
Wrong with you?
What does that mean that you think that's hot?
Yeah.
Broken homes are sexy. Girl,
she's like tell me about your damage.
Yeah. You talking about in therapy
every other
sexy.
Weekend at your dad's house? That's sexy.
Like, oh, you slept on a pull-out couch at your dad's sad apartment?
How they fought. I want to hear it.
Oh my god, did you like pull up the covers while your parents are arguing? Oh my god, that's
But then I wonder, I wondered, like, you know, she mentioned having two dads, but she also, I think in one of the more recent episodes, said something about her mom. So I wonder if her dad divorced and then started dating.
Yeah, I think that might be the situation, because she did say something. I can't remember who it was, but someone was like talking about like, oh, my mom is like the most supportive person. Yeah. It might have been new Jared. And yeah. she's like, your mom sounds better than my mom.
Wow. Like, wow, that's so hot.
Yeah. Imagine being this CJ's mom watching this and being like, how oh, fuck you, dude.
Oh my God. That and was- me, literally me with a dead mom being like, whatever you ungrateful bitch.
Yeah. Fuck you, CJ.
Fuck you for having a mom.
Yeah, know, your mom's alive. Dick.
Spoiled bitch. Yeah. And then in the first episode, that really tall, bald guy.
Oh, God.
Now, I think it's rude to call a person you just met toxic. But also, bitch, you toxic.
I'm completely on your side here because I felt like she was kind of like building that up where she was just yeah. like, I'm crazy. Like,
yeah, I'm crazy.
She's
I'm
like, we might get arrested.
About me.
And then yeah. she's like, okay, well, you can't use another synonym. I'm sorry. Yes, like, it's not approved.
You mad at thesaurus? Like, what are you doing?
But listen, we've been watching toxic men on these shows for how long? Let me love a toxic woman. It's oh, fine. I do.
We still love her. But own it. Own it.
You can't be mad at a man for noticing you problematic.
Yeah. Well, especially you're because right, he, I think that he thought that that was like, oh, we're like joking about it. We're like, yes. oh, we're like a little toxic. Yes. And then she's like, no,
how dare you?
And I thought that she was a little trigger happy on that first. What, who is the very cute Asian dude she sent home first?
Peter.
He was so cute.
I love him. I'm obsessed.
So cute. He was so cute. I mean, good for her. He ultimately was a self-identified.
I was shocked also by that.
I was shocked. I thought he was like that cute, awkward boy
that
like, accidentally got hot girls because he didn't know how hot he was.
You can't have any of them.
And I love that. I love that.
So I was surprised that he was with it enough to know that that was a game he was playing. But I do think that she dumped him for no reason. I did think that that explanation was stupid. Like, of course,
I also thought that was like
pretending he wants to spend the night with you. Like, that's the game here, you know.
And also, if production is going to interfere, they should be interfering to save Peter and get rid of some of these other duds.
Jenny's still obsessed with Peter. Stop it.
Like, let me. Oh, sorry. I'll take my tinfoil hat off. They're interfering.
Okay. Can we? So, can we also talk about Garrett being like, oh, yeah, we can FaceTime my ex, and his ex is Lauren from Love Island season
TV
2?
Star girl who went on TV for $100,000
with her fake mm-hmm. British accent. There is.
Wait, is it fake?
There is some discourse online that she may have moved from the UK when she was so young that her accent might not be completely accurate.
So can I tell you a story?
Ooh. Yes.
Okay.
Love this.
So, I went to high school in Brooklyn, but it was like a artsy fartsy kind of private school. I'm a scholarship kid, so I'm not fancy at all. And I went to high school with Lena Dunham. She was the grade above me. Mm-hmm. And when we were in high school, Lena's best friend was Jemima Kirk. And Jemima Kirk was the British friend of hers on Girls. Do you remember?
Yes. Hey, this is where I tell you I watched 30 minutes of Girls and was like, I can't watch this show.
I'm forgetting her name. I'm forgetting her name on the show, mm-hmm. but yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You remember the jealousy I told you about earlier? I didn't watch Girls either. Don't worry about
it. Well, I just, again, I couldn't get through an episode. I was like, this isn't very good. So...
But the reason I'm bringing that up is because Jemima, her father was like in an English rock band, but they moved to America when we was all kids. You know what I'm saying? But Jemima's been speaking with a British accent. You know, my parents are Nigerian and they've been here for almost 40 years, I would say. And so they were full adults when they got to America. And even still, their accents have been diluted by America. You know, if you talk to my father,
it fades over time.
It fades over time. But you also pick up other people's. My father will have like a slightly, it's a weird combination of Brooklyn and African. It'll be like, how are ya? You know what I mean? Like, it's like a weird.
Oh, my God. Wait, no, that sounds amazing.
You're like, how are you? What are you up to? Kind of thing. And so if my father, who was a full adult when he got here, picked up a heavy Brooklyn accent or whatever. You mean you, Jemima Kirk, who's been in Brooklyn since he was in fucking, since he was 8 or 9 years old, you couldn't figure out how to speak American.
She only listens to like British media so that she keeps it in her ears.
Well, that's the case. So one of my like very close friends, his name is Nathan. He moved from the UK to Canada when he was like maybe 12. And I remember when I first started becoming friends with him, he was like, oh yeah, no, I knew when I moved here, I needed to fight to keep my accent.
Okay.
Because it would be good here. But even still, I've known him like 10-ish years now. His accent has still gotten less than when I met him, even with him trying to keep
it. Exactly. The same with me. When I lived in California for 3 years, I worked so hard to keep my Brooklyn accent. You know what I'm saying? So I don't believe none of this Lauren Coogan bullshit, bitch. You have been here. You have been here. Okay.
Well, also, Lauren, why aren't you on Love Island UK?
Because she's too old for Love Island UK, because she's like 29.
But
Love Island UK is like 24.
Do you remember? So I've only watched one season of Love Island UK. I find Love Island UK excessively boring, and I can't explain why.
It's too long is the problem.
It's too long and there's too much footage. And Love Island, they also don't... I find the way that British people do reality TV incredible. I think they're better at it than...
Just meant for it.
They're meant for it. But something about Love Island UK feels slower than Love Island US. I don't know what it is.
Because it's longer. So Love Island UK is like a couple of weeks longer, and it's better and worse because of that.
Yes. But yeah, like there was an older, she was like 27 on Love Island.
Oh God.
Love Island UK, you're 27. They're like, oh, you're so mature. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And also, you know, Love Island UK is one of those things that feels exhausting, because on Love Island UK, you have to watch Love Island UK to understand other reality shows from the UK. Mm-hmm. Like you can't watch UK X on the Beach if you don't watch Love Island, right? And you can't watch Jersey Shore and then realize, not Jersey, Geordie Shore, and realize that Gary cheated on Charlotte on Love Island UK or X on the... It's like, it's too intertwined or whatever. Love Island US stands out as its own thing. But anyway, Lauren Coogan clearly, very clearly let her boyfriend go on this show to seduce a girl for $100,000.
She was going on the challenge anyways.
They're like, yeah, well, we'll meet up in a couple of weeks.
I show you to this Instagram picture I just found of Lauren and Garrett? Because
I saw it.
I don't know if it's the same one. This one, I'm about to die. So I'm going to share my screen with the two of you because I'm about to lose my mind at this Instagram picture.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
Look at him.
What's happening?
Like, what are we doing, you losers?
This is not Facetune. This is a whole...
Well, some of it's Facetune.
No, I think
it's Facetune on her face. God forgive me. She's not a particularly attractive woman in my... But I think that they're both... This is not nice because I'm not like a 10. But they're both people who... objectively speaking, they're supposed to be hot, right? Like they have all of the qualities that add up to hot. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you have a nice body. Oh, you're tall. Oh, you have long hair. Oh, you have a high forehead. All the things that are supposed to be hot, like they have it. But when you interact or you see them interacting, it's not real. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know what I mean? It's the ugly personality.
This one has been so face-tuned that Garrett's torso looks insane.
What?
Is he very smooth?
No.
He doesn't even have a chest. His chest.
The blur tool is out of control. God.
I'm screaming.
Oh my God. Girl, what?
Like, that's not right. That's not what he looks like.
Also, whose money are they going on these yacht trips with? Whose money is this?
Oh,
I loved that. I think it was CJ acknowledged. So when like CJ and Nikia are overlooking the awkward FaceTime call where like Lauren's just like, he's very trustworthy. Yeah, CJ was like, well, CJ was like, they're in cahoots. Like, I love that they like kind of like, I mean, it's not breaking the fourth wall, but like, I love that they like acknowledge, like it was a meta moment.
It is breaking
like,
the fourth wall.
Yeah, like people go on these shows strategically and have conversations with their partners at home being like, yo, I'm just going to like pretend I'm single. I'm going to like, this is going to be like a career move for me.
Yeah.
Like, and people literally do that, especially people like this, where like his girlfriend has already been on TV on a show like this.
Do you honestly think, true story, a man left me so he could go on a TV show to chase some lady, and I'm going to take a phone call from that bitch asking him about me? Asking me about him.
And say nice things.
And say nice. No. Stop my fucking dick. You guys are joking.
But okay.
I share a lot.
So the you are in good company here. Yeah. So the questions that they ask Lauren on this FaceTime are you currently in a relationship with Garrett? She says no.
They only asked yes or no questions, by the way. They didn't give her room to elaborate.
I'm not sure it was really her. It might have been a marionette, some sort of puppet.
The best, though, is I love the last two questions where Garrett's like, well, do you think I'm ready to be in a relationship? And Lauren says, that's not a question I can answer. Hilarious. And then the final question is, Sarah goes, is Garrett someone I can trust? And Lauren literally goes, and Sarah's like, wow, I really trust him now.
But also, did you see his storm off when he was like, this is invading my privacy? Nigga, what? You gave them her number to FaceTime.
What did you I didn't understand at what point it was like, it was invading
these
privacy.
Yes or no questions.
Yeah. She barely said anything. I'm not even sure she blinked.
She didn't say a single thing, girl.
That woman has never blinked.
Her face did not move the entire time. I'm saying it could have been a hologram.
Girl, I was like, what? Is this pre-recorded? They have Sarah on here talking to a video. This is embarrassing.
It looked like fake Zoom. Trust.
Like, I was like, girl, what? Like, this is so lame. And this is the one time, like, I wasn't rooting against Sarah, but I didn't warm up to her very quickly. But once I had warmed up to her, maybe by episode 3, I found that she was, I like Sarah's journey because it was like very clear to me that she's the youngest of the three. Mm-hmm. And she clearly has low self-esteem. And I don't mean that in a shitty way. I just mean that she's clearly like a pretty blonde. So like the external world treats her well, but I don't know necessarily that she believes in her worth. I don't think she would entertain some of the shit she has if she did. I don't think she would be blowing off Josh, but maybe that's a racial thing. I don't know. I have suspicions about that. Not that she's racist, but I think it's hard for a lot of white people to see themselves with black people in a real way.
And that's the thing too, where it's not necessarily about her being like, oh, I'm like overtly like a racist person, but like the society that we live in conditions us in such a way where there are like a consideration there even when there shouldn't be. And
she's like, I'm having a hard time picturing this. Or
yes,
something.
Exactly.
Like,
That's exactly the exact perfect way to phrase it. They just don't see it. And they don't know why they don't see it. They just don't. But
which is funny because I think I pointed this out on the last episode is I think they're actually both from Chicago. So like of all the like, which I mean, location isn't everything, but it's like, I think when you meet people on these shows, like
and they're
part of the reality is like, am I ever going to see you again after this? Yeah. And it's like, I think that they both live in Chicago. So it's like, this is something, although I think it said something different on one of his chyrons, but anyway, like, they are actually probably one of the more realistic pairings, but,
but
things play into these thoughts, right?
She's moving to LA. Come on. You know that that's what
builds her brand.
Yeah, and again, her brand of what? What is she branding?
Yeah, that was the thing that was interesting to me. I was wondering why they cast her. Yeah, because they called her a social media. I guess maybe they wanted to have like the relatable woman on the show because she's a social
media. The America's sweetheart. Like,
yes, she's the Meg Ryan of the show.
Not the Meg Ryan.
The the social media manager from Chicago when you have a stylist in LA and a model in LA. Mm-hmm.
Like when CJ has 500,000 Instagram followers already and Sarah has 5,000.
Okay. And I thought that was an interesting choice, but like, I was like, girl, what? Like I was so, again, like you said, Kirsten, there's like an element of us seeing it from the outside, but this man showed up, they went on their boat date. And the first thing he said was, I'm an orphan from Russia.
Hey, and can I also say, I just want to give everyone a word of advice. Okay. If you are going on a date with a man and he feels too comfortable on a boat, that's a red flag. I'm sorry. Hello?
Okay, you thirst bucket attempted yachty. What are you doing? But also, like, I know that they're on a reality show and production probably invites them or coaxes it out of them. But you can't have a perfectly packaged story about your abandonment as mm-hmm. a child. Like, that stressed me out right away. He had his, I was abandoned, left in an orphanage story, ready to go. Like, what are you doing?
And I was waiting for that to be a lie because he'd been like talking up about what a douchebag he was. And I was like,
The thing was, I was also waiting for it to be a lie and it may or may not be true. I'm not saying that it's not true, but he was too ready to tell it. She didn't ask anything that invited it. She didn't, at least from the edit. She didn't ask anything.
Like, my favorite food is pizza. Also, I'm an orphan. I have abandonment issues. Yes. My sister.
Yes. And then the thing that confused me about her wanting to keep him around, I was like, oh, she's so young. She's still a baby. He didn't ask her a fucking thing about herself. Not a single
red flag.
Men do. They're like, oh, no, ask me about myself, but I will not take a single shred of interest in you.
Yes. And not only did he not ask her by himself, you mean to tell me I'm going to open up to you about this serious thing? Like, oh, I was abandoned in a Russian orphanage and, you know, I got adopted and me and my sister got adopted together. We're lucky. My sister, did he say sister had an illness? I don't remember.
I think she was deaf, maybe.
Yes, she was deaf. Mm-hmm. That's not an illness. That's a disability. God forgive me. I didn't mean it that way. But like, he didn't do anything to relate, right? Like, he didn't go, oh, I've been through this struggle. What's a struggle you've been on? You know, like, there was, you know, most people when they're sharing trauma, it's not to like dump and then shock everybody and leave the room, right? It's a like, okay, here's how I'm human. This is my most vulnerable self. Show me a vulnerability so that we can relate, especially if you're somebody who's been through something super traumatic. Like, I've been through a traumatic thing, right? But whenever I talk about it, it's not like I'm like, hey, I've been sexually assaulted. What's up? You know what I'm saying?
So wait, why is that?
Just dropping that on you for no reason. No,
wait, that's the exact energy that my mom would have when you'd be in the minivan and then the doors just automatically lock and she's like, hey, let me tell you about the worst thing that ever happened to me. And you're like, I can't go anywhere.
It's like, I have no choice.
But isn't that a stressful experience? Yeah. If somebody drops their trauma on you while you sipping champagne and shit, that's stressful.
What?
Because where's the bottle?
And most people who are trying to bond through sharing their trauma, it's about bonding. It's about being oh, you've been through this. Well, let me try and relate through this that I've been through.
Right. But the thing is, also, I had to learn about myself in therapy and stuff, that whenever I mentioned being sexually assaulted or whatever, I was trying to accelerate the relationship for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? Why are you telling people the first time you get alone with them that this awful thing happened to you? Obviously, an orphanage and that experience and being adopted is more relevant to who you are at the surface right away. I get that. So I'm not equating those
things. It's not a first date share, though.
Right. It just feels like when you offer trauma like that, you're accelerating how much somebody's supposed to care about you. You're accelerating people's investment in you. Oh, look, something bad happened to me. Care about me. Feel bad about me.
Yeah.
Before you learn anything else, so that I have your immediate investment before we get to learn each other. Like I had to learn to stop leading with that trauma or whatever, because one, it's not self-defined. Like, I'm not defined by that. But two, I had to realize that I wasn't necessarily being manipulative, but I was trying to move fast. When you give everybody the most vulnerable or painful memory about you right away, you're trying to, I guess, incur sympathy. You're trying to encourage sympathy. You're trying to encourage affection, attachment faster than it would come organically. And so I'm shocked she wasn't made nervous by that. And then compounded with the fact that we found out he had a girlfriend. We got a face. You are embarrassing. I got to FaceTime your girl to believe you. Fuck you. I'm never talking to you again. Are you dumb?
Like, because that's the thing too. If Garrett had been serious, when she says you have two choices, pack your bags or we're FaceTiming your ex, he says, I'm packing my bags because you will never trust me and this isn't worth it to me. The fact that he's like, okay, well, I guess I'm ready to FaceTime with her.
It's
like,
on TV.
Okay, so this isn't real. Like, this isn't real.
Yeah.
And I totally...
There's no way that a girl I just dumped to go on a TV show is gonna take your call and cover for me.
Well, Lauren will.
Well, that's, like, again, because he met Lauren when she was at the airport when she got kicked off of Love Island.
Shut up. That's how they met?
That's how all real love stories start.
I remember when she got dumped from the island, she like posted something on her social media of like, oh yeah, but I met this amazing guy at the airport. And I was like, well, this is stupid. It doesn't matter to my life. And now, a year it or does, 2 years so. Later, I'm watching F-Boy Island and there's that boy.
This makes so much, girl, it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense because LAX, okay, here's.
Please educate me. I've never been there.
Yeah.
I'm about to trauma bond with the two of you.
Okay. Like, honestly, when you said that, though, I feel like that's such Sagittarius bullshit. Like, I was connecting with you so hard over being like, oh, yeah, I overshare in an attempt to feel authentic, even though it's not necessarily that way.
No, totally. But so I'm over now. I'm a recovering wiggaholic. I don't know what it is, but tall, handsome white dudes who have black dude energy used to be my weakness. You know, I was very into, I don't know how into American football you guys are, but there's a guy on the Cincinnati Bengals, I think, or is it the Cleveland Browns? His name is Travis Kelce. He's fine as fuck, you know.
Let me look.
I'm pulling him up.
Girls. He's so damn fine. Travis, K-E-L-C-E.
Yep.
He dates black girls. His fiance is a black woman, you know.
Oh, I can see it. Yeah, okay. I see that.
So it's like that energy. Do you see what I'm talking about? He wears Jordans, maybe basketball shorts, walking around kind of thing. And L.A. is full of guys like that. L.A. is full of white dudes who... Travis Kelce is an exception who might actually date black women, but LA is full of white dudes who have black dude swag and dress like black dudes or whatever and use black dude slang or whatever. And so I could totally see a guy like Garrett meeting her in the airport because LAX, they're all there. It's crazy. They're in gray sweats, white tees, chains, and Jordans. And I swear to God, that's how Garrett met her in the airport. I'm confident of it. Like, that's
I believe
totally
it.
It. You know, like even in the confessional, sometimes he uses slang and I'm like, I bet $1 million you don't have black friends. Why are you talking like that? He'll say something like, oh, I was shook. That's black gay slang. Where you learned that? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Because it's like, okay, if a white woman says, I'm shook, okay, I'm sure she's talking to or listening to podcasts. Like,
oh, with. She watched Drag Race.
Where did Garrett learn I was shook? Where did he learn that?
This is a very good point.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the number one garbage on the show is Garrett. Mm-hmm. Number two is Chris. And number three is a tie for OG Jared and Colin.
Okay. I just love that, like, Chris just, like, gets no time of day. Like, Sarah, like, invites him on a date and then instantly is like, this was a mistake.
It is so off-putting. Like, why is he like that? And then, of course, in the final elimination of the batch, Chris and Jomar go home. And this is the first time we've said Jomar this whole time. Doesn't matter. Like, I didn't know his name until he got eliminated, right? And so,
to be fair, he came late, but also very unforgettable.
Did he? I don't remember.
He came with welcome and Jared.
Got it. Yeah.
You fucking dummy. You're going to show up to a TV show called F-Boy Island and announce you've never been in a relationship. What are we supposed to categorize you as?
Yeah.
Because it's not even like he was like, oh, you know, like I'm unlucky in love. He's like, I've never been in a relationship. No,
he's like, I just be fucking and I don't commit.
And again, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But you're going to be classified as
There's something wrong with it.
You're trying to sell yourself differently.
Progressive. I'm not progressive. I'm not into new age love. If you fucking everybody and can't commit, there's something wrong with it. Listen.
If you can't commit at all, yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And then you remember when they show... That's another thing. This is another thing. I wanted to bring this up. I'm so glad you mentioned this because this... Okay. I completely forgot. So don't you think... So... I think Casey and CJ are going to stay together and I think mm-hmm. Casey's going to win.
Yes.
And here's why. You remember how when Charlie got eliminated and obviously it's because he lied that they made it a big thing. But you know how like when the fuck boys get called out or eliminated, they show clips of their audition
casting,
tape.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. When Casey admitted to being a fuckboy, they did not show clips of his audition tape. And I wonder if it's because they don't want the audience to hate him if he wins.
I like that we're reading the edit of F-Boy Island. This is perfect. I love it.
But that is a good point.
It's a really good point.
We saw clips of even people that we didn't care
never
about.
Met. Never
yeah.
met.
Literally, I don't know this man. Like, sorry to this
yes.
man.
Yeah.
But like, because we saw even when Greg didn't even get eliminated. He just admitted that he was a fuckboy in that mm-hmm. mass admitting what you are, whatever.
Yeah.
He showed him talking about all the women he's been with, blah, blah, blah. But he still stays in the next episode or whatever. And he's a big part of the Jared, Colin, Nakia storyline. But we sort of get, I've written Greg off completely. He's a fuckboy. I'm not going to take him seriously. And that's in part because of all the sex he said he had in his F-boy tape. They didn't
and also the heart in his hair. Right?
Also the Drake heart in his
that's
hair.
How you know. That's
and,
how
the,
you know.
And the constant grabbing of his beard. The beard.
Like, why are you grabbing your beard?
What? Caressing his beard. But then it was like, I was like, okay, production has no problem with me disliking him in this edit. Production does have an issue with me thinking things of Casey. Even when Casey was talking to Nikki in the limbo.
Yeah.
The question they showed him being like charming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's got a good edit all the way through, I think.
The only thing where he really came off really bad in the show is when he was like, CJ, you don't deserve any of these men. Sean is so good mm-hmm. and you're trash, blah, blah,
and
blah.
And then they gave him a redemption because he gets to be like, yeah. I miss her. I want to talk to her. I'm going to go chase her.
Over the bamboo.
Yes. Like, that was cute, but I mean, like, production, come on, you can't tell me he actually hitchhiked in the Cayman Islands. That nigga don't know no fucking body.
And hitchhike is as real as the cot that he's apparently sleeping on.
He got on the F bus and it drove him straight back. They just made him run across the highway.
Yeah, it just goes back and forth all day. So if you just wait long enough, you're going to get taken back to the villa.
Yes. But yeah, I know that I've kept you guys super long, but this has been
no, really this has
awesome. Been so much fun. And thank you so so much for joining us. Like, literally, this has been a dream come true for me.
A blessing. Yay.
You guys are incredible. This has been really cool.
Oh my God.
I also just love that, you know, I low-key be feeling embarrassed. I actually got a burner account, even though I don't use it.
Oh,
I got a burner Twitter because during the pandemic, I realized that, like, I was going to start tweeting about reality TV a lot. And I think because I'm verified, people respond to me differently. So I don't get to talk to the show about the shows the way that I want to. So, like, this was cool because I got to talk about the shows the way that I want to. With you guys, like, you guys are just as intense as I am and fun.
We're here for it with you.
Because, you know, I don't know, like, I think maybe some, like, I'm always in the Real Housewives hashtags and people get so sassy and mean with me. And I'm just like, yo, I'm watching the same TV show you watching or whatever. Even, yeah, like with Colin or whatever. I don't think Colin would have responded to me that way if I wasn't verified. I don't think.
Well, yeah, because he wants the attention. So he's like, oh, this is a person who is verified. So obviously
people are going to see this interaction. So I have to convince this person who has a platform that I'm a good guy. Yes. And then it did not work out well for
me. No, you're not, Colin. We know you're not.
No. A good guy wouldn't have implied I'm ugly for thinking he's whack. You know what I'm saying? But,
If you've grown, you haven't grown enough.
Yes, exactly.
If you're still doing that shit,
oh, I'm whack because I'm ugly.
You still have more therapy.
And also, you think you're the first person on the internet who's called me ugly? I've been on Twitter since 2009, my friend. I've been countless times.
Like, you're a woman on the internet.
Hello?
You're like, it's fine. You know.
Yeah. That's what we got.
If you call me ugly in a funny way, I'm going to enjoy it. I think it's hilarious. Like, there's a video on, like, Comedy Central's YouTube where, like, I did stand up on it or whatever. And I've gained some weight since I moved to California or wherever. I'm back now. But listen, it's stuck.
Everyone drives in California. It's not your fault.
Right. You know, the thing is, the way that I kept thin in New York, not that you need to keep thin, it's just I realized that my body changed for this reason. I'm late everywhere, so I have to power walk to the subway. So you know what I'm saying? Like, I've got to be like, okay, let me get the next train if I can't get the train I'm supposed to be on. So I got to heat walk or whatever. And
being a pedestrian is great workout.
Yes, it is.
It seriously is. Yeah.
It is. And so, like, I was always thin and never on time. But in California, I was always on time because I had just gotten Ubers. You have to drive everywhere. I don't know how to drive because I'm a native New Yorker. But anyway, I gained a lot of weight in California and I noticed, but I didn't think anyone else noticed. And then you shouldn't read the comments. Never read the comments. But
never.
I did.
Oh, no, I read the comments and then I keep the mean ones because I think they're so funny.
They're so funny. It's weird.
I wish I felt like it was funny and that I wasn't completely broken up.
Jenny, that's why I go onto the RHAP YouTube and delete any comments I see about anyone else. I just keep the ones about me.
Oh, that's good. That's good sisterhood. Keep her around, Jenny.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I need her because I will cry.
I swear to God, I'll fight any. Like, I've never been in a fight before, but if someone wants to come at Jenny Autumn, I could be scrappy.
Yes, let's get scrappy.
Yes.
But I saw somebody say, how are you skinny with a double chin? And that was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen in my life. I'm like, oh, I'm skinny with a double chin. I didn't even notice that. That was a flaw you told me about. I'm out here checking out my teeth. I'm wondering about my hairline. You out here pointing out I got turkey neck and you could tell I'm skinny. It was great. So
looked at that person's profile. How many chins do you think they have? And they're coming at you for a double chin.
That's also why it's easy to blow it off, because the people calling you ugly are often not great looking. Like today, like on Real Housewives of Potomac, I'm obsessed with it. That's the show I tweet about the most right now. It's the one that I feel the most embarrassed about tweeting, because I'm like, I tweet like a stan, not just a fan, a stan about that show with a verified account. That's embarrassing.
No, it's iconic. No, and I will like those tweets even though I don't watch the show.
But so there was a rumor before I go, because it's like 11:15 out here. But
yeah, no, we do need to stop this.
You're going to have people be like, why do you have a 3-hour podcast?
I'm sorry. I would just like to say directly, to anyone who has an issue with the length or content of this podcast, please feel free to at me. At Kirsten said what? I'll fight you. You're wrong. I will fight you. I don't care. At me.
Thank you. Thank you, superhero. So Nicki Minaj is, there was a rumor that Nicki Minaj was going to host the reunion. You know, Andy Cohen hosts all the Real Housewives reunions.
Oh, I feel like I saw something about this.
Yes, there was this rumor that Nicki Minaj was going to host the reunions. And I was like, I don't want Nicki Minaj to host the reunion. That's absurd. Like, I don't think that you should just get to infiltrate a reality show just because you're a celebrity. I think that that ruins the magic of reality TV. I think reality TV is suffering, actually, the genre in general, because people are too self-aware in this day and age. Everyone's going on reality TV shows to be good on Instagram to sell endorsements or whatever. And like, excuse me, make me. So you rarely get authentic people on reality TV, which is why I like Josh. He feels very authentic. Mm-hmm. And Sean, too, whatever little of him that they've shown us. But I said today, then Andy Cohen, I guess, gave an interview and said, no, Nicki Minaj is not going to take my job. Like, he'd be dumb to give the most famous female rapper his job. He'd never get it back. Are you dumb? You know, so he's like, she's not. We'll try and figure out a segment with her. And I quote tweeted that tweet. And I said, thank heaven. And somebody was just like, you're not pretty enough to be grateful Nicki Minaj isn't hosting the reunion.
Well, that's you. You tried to anger the Barbs. That's,
yeah, I was going to say.
We shouldn't be scared of them. Fuck the Barbs. They are all 15 years old. They're 15 years old. And think that rap started in 2009 with Nicki Minaj. That is absurd. We need to stop feeding into that. We need to stop being scared. Let 15-year-olds with anime fucking profile pictures call you ugly. It's not a big deal, you know?
So
this one happened to have their real profile picture. And I'm like, bitch, you talking? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I was like, LMAO, looking like you? You are telling me I'm too ugly to not want her to host the reunion? I think we just need to get into a place where fuck them. I don't know. I just think that online, particularly Twitter, Reddit, I don't really like talking about reality TV on Reddit because people...
Reddit is for white men. Reddit is for nobody else.
Is it white men? I'm in the Real Housewives Reddit and I sometimes check the Big Brother Reddit out and I'm surprised by how not into the cookout they are on Reddit.
Reddit and Facebook have some trouble there. Yeah,
the BB Reddit is really
we don't go there.
Oh, they hate me too. I had to give them up.
Oh, this no, year. Girl, I looked.
I had to give up the BB Reddit this year after they bullied me for a couple of days.
I only saw one post about you, and I was like, oh, y'all are wrong.
Oh, there were some comments, but it's fine.
I didn't even know about this.
Well, I went.
Now looking. I'm upset.
I went looking because, you know, I was being nosy. I was trying to see if the BB Reddit knew which one of y'all had girlfriends or boyfriends. And so then I went.
Well, that's after the podcast. We'll give you all the tea.
Okay. So, I went looking. But yes. One thing I've learned is have your opinions, ignore people who are mad at you. They're usually angry that you get more attention than they do. And I hate this word because it's often used in a sexist way to like minimize the legitimate feelings of women. But jealousy is often the root of the unkind things people say to you online.
Oh, so, for sure.
Fuck whatever Reddit said about you guys or whatever. And I hate how sexist and catty the word jealousy sounds like, but oftentimes it is jealousy, you know? And so that's obviously why I don't like Colin. I'm jealous.
No, Colin should be jealous of you first and foremost.
Well, he saw the followers and he said, oh, well, no.
So I do feel like we should wrap this up. We've taken up like 12 years of Ray's time today. Ray, if people are miraculously just learning about you for the first time here, and if so, grow the fuck up, all of you losers. Where can people hear more from you or find you?
I keep doing this on podcasts, even though, so I've been trying to start my own podcast for like a month. Like, I'm weirdly terrified, you know. It's very scary to talk by yourself, you know.
Yeah, it is.
I talk a lot, but it's very scary. So I've been starting a podcast for a month called, or actually, I don't know, 6 months, to be honest with you.
Relatable.
The Dizziest at the Table. I figure if I say it on record, then you guys will hold me to it. So Dizziest B at the Table. And it would just be me talking obsessively about Real Housewives, mostly just reality TV and then pop culture topics. Like the episode I didn't record last week was about Real Housewives of Potomac and the baby. So
iconic. Oh boy.
So that'll be the kind of stuff where it's like I recap TV shows and then talk about, you know, it would also probably be me parsing J-Lo and Ben Affleck's relationship. God forgive me. I'm so on board. I ship them so hard. Like, I've been trying to recapture the early 2000s. That was when I was at my peak. So I love J-Lo being depressed to revisit the early 2000s like me, you know, so. That, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Raisani. If you don't like me mixing like random political thoughts and reality TV and then attempts at jokes, then you won't like it, but that's usually what it is. And then you can find me on Instagram at rawfizzle87. Don't make fun of that as a nickname I came out with, like, with, you know, the Snoop Dogg Izzle era.
It was a time and a place.
Yeah.
So it was a moment.
Exactly. Dizzle dog, you know. So
we all said it.
Yeah.
And I can speak for myself when I say I should have never said it.
So yeah, that's where you can find me. And I'll try to be less annoying, but I'm a pretty annoying person on social media. You're just going to have to deal.
They're listening to me host a podcast. They like annoying. And Jenny, where can people find you?
On social media at Jenny Autumn. Just living life. I'm just living my life. And wrapping up the Sexy Beast season one coverage with my good friend Puya. We should have episode 5 and 6 dropping later this week. We will be podcasting with Chappelle on Wednesday. I cannot wait for that. That show is bonkers bananas. And so check that out. And other than that, yeah, just surviving. So survive with me. I don't know.
Okay. And I too am surviving. If people want to hear more from me, you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. Love Island is sadly not over yet, so you can catch Brian Scalley and myself talking about
also
that.
Also, fuck Charlie. Fuck Charlie.
Honestly, every man named Charlie has been a clown this summer. And also, there's still Big Brother coverage to be had. And also, Riverdale comes back in 2 days. So
wait, are you a Riverdale person?
I podcast about Riverdale over on Kowski Cast.
I'm gonna DM you about Riverdale.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
That's my show.
Kowski Cast, that's Cat with the K. Lindsay Wilson and I are still talking about BoJack Horseman every single week. I don't love myself enough to stop. BoJack is legitimately good. It's the only legitimately good show I talk about. But yeah, follow me over at Kirsten Said What, and Jenny and I will come back after we get the results of F-Boy Island, and yeah, we will talk to you then. Bye.